world of fancy and fine, there are many ladders to climb. Ladders are fine if that works for you, but there are four things that I would rather do. I wanna eat, drink, and make babies. Eat, drink, and make babies. Eat, drink, and make babies. Take a nap. There are hills to ski and mountains to face. Spread your name all over the place. I wanna do some spreading too, and mostly on a big bed of spread with you. I wanna eat, drink, and make babies. Eat, drink, and make babies. Just a piece of evolution with an age-old hungry constitution. I've got these two eyes on you, and those four things that I wanna do. I wanna eat, drink, and make babies. Eat, drink, and make babies. Eat, drink, and make babies. It's over, take a nap.
Hey, good peeps, Peg City and the Global Village. Welcome to Whoop It Up with UMFM, our Summer of 24 mini-series spotlight on the Whoop and Holler Folk Festival. They call me Bruce, and I'll be your host. The Whoop and Holler Folk Festival takes place at Cottonwood Acres, just outside of Portage la Prairie, Saturday, August 24th. And then at Island Park in Portage la Prairie, Sunday, August 25th. Since 2014, the festival has been the stage for a diverse group of headliners, new artists, and buzz bands, and a safe place for every kind of people. Full details online at whoopandholler.com and all socials. Series episodes can be found at umfm.com. CJUM 101.5 UMFM is a proud media sponsor. Episode 2, Ben Suras. Originally from Manitoba, singer-songwriter Ben Suras has called Edmonton home for the past two decades. But have no fear, his roots are still here. His children's book, The Boy Who Walked Backwards, was published by the Manitoba First Nations Education Resource Center. He sings in English, French, and Spanish, is a winner of numerous international songwriting contests, and has performed across Canada, Lebanon, Mexico, and traveled the world. His trip to Bolivia was, if you will, formative, much like Daddy Michelle's experience in Belize or the Beatles and Alanis Morissette in India. His most recent album, The Story That Lived Here, spent consecutive weeks at number one on the CKUA radio chart and hit top 10 in the national college charts in Canada. Experience Ben Suras online at bensuras.com. That's S-U-R-E-S. Welcome, Ben Suras. It's been about a decade since we last chatted.
Nothing's changed.
Oh, yes, it has. We just feel like it hasn't.
Right. I need to clarify something. I've never been to Bolivia. I was referencing Che Guevara and the FBI. No, the CIA. Who was it that took him out?
One of them.
Yeah, pretty sure it was the CIA.
He was a little shady too, or I shouldn't say shady. He was a little egotistical.
Well, he definitely is a person of interest in the world.
Man, I thought you actually did go to Bolivia. Don't ask me why I thought that, but that's awesome.
Yeah. It's an easy mistake because of the song "Gone to Bolivia."
And you were traveling at the time.
Yes, some of that album came out of some traveling experiences and also a 10-week stint working on a cruise ship. The Columbus Sailed Here song definitely came from that trip. Just the things I saw in different places.
Traveling has a great effect on people, and we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to mention that we came in with Eat, Drink, and Make Babies from Son of Trouble. And I took that album when it came out as, you know, almost like an ode to Dad. I heard about Dad's rumors, and I'm the son of that. And Eat, Drink, and Make Babies to me was like the foreshadowing of your latest album, like the giddiness of, you know, the honeymoon stage of a marriage. Let's have babies and be a family. And then the latest album, The Story That Lived Here, really resonates with the story that my best friends are going through right now, and that's an empty nest. The kids are grown up, and on the album, you mentioned kids going to college, and you talk about the way things were with your dad, and it's wistful and melancholy. At least that's what I took out of it.
I wouldn't want to. I like how people. I mean, I can see how it would be interpreted that way, and I'm never going to contradict. I'm just like, that's great. I'm glad you found something in the music that made you think that way. Eat, Drink, and Make Babies was sort of like, what is universal? and I think that theme was universal. But then fast forward to this this album, it was kind of a sort of... lost my dad, COVID, had the sort of the bubble opportunity to really sit and reflect about life, which just sort of the timing was good with my age, perhaps. And also, I think I feel good. I really feel, to me, that the album specialists, we did it very intimately, like, and very much live. The producer is Richard Moody, and we did it in Richard's bachelor shed in Victoria with his landlord on the bass, Scott White. And the thing about it is, you know, Richard, still very in-demand musician, very busy in his life. But because of the circumstance of the world, I think it also allowed him some pause. And we just had the most relaxed, focused, chill time making the record. And also I had time to kind of be healthy leading up to it, so it was, you know, kind of like shedding. I did a lot of shedding, and then I really, in every song, I really said everything the way I wanted to. If I am never able to make another album, I obviously want to make more albums, but if I were never had the opportunity again, I would at least feel good about where my thoughts ended up with that one. And hey, it starts with the end of the world and ends with a yard sale.
I just want to throw in, it really, to me, felt like a prairie version of John Hyatt's Bring the Family.
Yeah, I remember that album. That was, and well, I don't, you know, when I was in my 20s, I listened to a lot of old men. I don't know why. I used up Guy Clark, Townes Van Zandt tapes, and I listened to John Hyatt, Bring the Family, and Slow Turning. I don't know. I feel like I may have just made my... I mean, I would say there was an imbalance. I would say I listened to old men songwriters a lot when I was in my early 20s, and I don't know why, but I've since balanced my tastes out. But I feel like this album is kind of like I made the album that I gathered all the information for a few decades ago. The album that I would have liked listening to in my early 20s.
One track stands out in particular for an interesting reason, and that's No One Will Remember You.
Yeah.
And it stuck out to me because a writer, an intellectual, an academic, someone like Malcolm Gladwell. I forget who actually said it. But they said, like, we all have to relax about our legacy because in 200 years, nobody will remember us. Not even our family of our great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, unless you're Mozart.
If we're focusing on our legacy, we're missing our life as it's happening. That's basically all that says. I had a conversation once and with Lynn Miles. I was passed through Ottawa and I stopped and had coffee with her. And we kind of had a chuckle. We were just kind of a little bit bemoaning some of the more challenging aspects of making music and traveling and all that. And then the punchline was sort of, no one cares.
Lynn Miles is such a realist and a pragmatist. She's wonderful.
So there was a little bit of that. I think basically no one will remember you is just, that's not the part that matters.
However, I will add, and as a suggestion to everybody out there, is that you write your own memoir and go to McNally Robinson and Hamblin publish it. Even if it's one copy, because they can do that, your kids and grandchildren will thank you.
I think this album is my memoir.
That's because you have talent. for the rest of us, we'll promote the talent. And we mentioned your book,
right?
And I want to before I get you to comment on it, I somehow think it's not directly tied in, but in the conversation, Everybody Matters, the single, needs to be added into that conversation. Talk to us about moving into the family genre for a book and a song.
Well, the book was quite a few years ago. I think The Boy Who Walked Backwards, is that on Gone to Bolivia? Yeah, it is. It is. It's on Gone to Bolivia. The Boy Who Walked Backwards Through the Snow. And the song is basically about my friend Janet Day Mowat's father. And when he was a little kid, he was taken away to residential school. And on the Christmas break, all the kids were brought home to their families. And he was just a little guy, like 5 or 6 years old. And he decided that there was no way he was going to go back to that school. And so the story goes that the day they were coming to collect all the kids, there was fresh snow on the ground. And he got up early and he walked out of his house. He turned backwards to face the house and walked into the bush. And he waited inside the bush. And when they got to his house, the only tracks they saw on the ground looked like they were coming out of the forest. So they never looked in the forest, and I guess eventually they would have registered the family as non-compliant because they couldn't find the kid. And they gave up and they left, and he never went back to residential school. And that's essentially the story of the book. And I was very inspired by the story. I liked the positive twist, the bravery of the boy. And so I wrote the song and recorded it, but I just thought it would make a good, I like the idea of a kid's story that kind of has some scary stuff in it, but the kid wins in the end. I think it inspired me. So just for my own sake, I wrote a kid's version of the story. And then, I was doing a concert actually in Winnipeg, and my friend Joy was at the show, and she asked me about the song, and I told her the story, and I mentioned to her that I had written a school, like I'd written a kid's version, and I was looking for someone to kind of pitch it to, even though I'd never really done anything like that. And she worked for Manitoba First Nations Education Resource Network, and she said they have a publishing wing, and I asked her if I could send her the story, and if she found value in it, would she pass it on? And she did that, and they in turn really liked the story, and that's how it came to be published.
And how about the single that you released, Everybody Matters? There's there's your version.
Well, I was just trying to do a grown-up version of the Sesame Street In Your Neighborhood song.
I think you did well.
You know, one day I was just like, because my brain is always going with song ideas and AB Rhymes, and it just doesn't shut off. And I was like, I think I heard that song, and then I was like, well, what about the grown-up version? Like, I don't know. Anyway, I was thinking of all these grown-up versions of what would go in that song, and then so I wrote that.
But there's the instrumental version.
Oh yeah, the instrumental version. So okay, so
that you can add your own words.
Play it at shows. I would play it at shows, and school teachers would be like, you know, Ben, that would be a great song for students, but some of the lyrics aren't quite appropriate. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll write a kid's version. And I did write a kid's version. I feel kind of 50% about it, but I did record that and put it online. But then I thought, what about the grown-ups that want to take it bluer? And so there is a version with no lyrics that, you know, you can write your own lyrics, and then you just, then the chorus is there. So you can do like your Ben Suris karaoke.
We love that. I'm sure there'll be a lot of karaoke happening at Whoopin' Holler. Yes. Ben Suris, thanks for joining us today. What song would you like to leave the folks with? Perhaps something that they're going to hear at the Whoopin' Holler Folk Festival?
Yeah, sure. You could go with Maybe When I'm Older.
Tell us about that song. We did talk a little bit about it, but tell us about it.
It's my kind of like reflecting on my life what if song. What if this had happened instead of what did happen? Because, you know, you start out your life and you don't really know what's going to happen. Well, some people have agendas more than others, but then also stuff just happens. So it's kind of like a what if I had had kids? What if I had gone to this place? What, you know?
Never stop wondering. Ben Suris, thanks for joining us on Whoop It Up with UMFM, and thank you for tuning in and supporting independent music, arts, and events. Check out all episodes at umfm.com. All details, tickets, food, directions, artists, everything can be found at whoopinholler.com. Search whoopinholler on all social medias, and please do join us in person Saturday and Sunday, August 24th and 25th. Until we meet again, be good, have fun, stay motivated.
You learned all the songs from all the bands, every small town crowd at your command. They got drunk in but a round or two. No one will remember you. That amazing voice, that ripping soul, singing covers by the Eagles and Hole. Got you lucky when they were new. No one will remember you. No one will remember the things you said. No one will remember all the words in your head. Anything you tried to do, no one will remember you. Except maybe your mom and dad, they'll recall the time you had and wonder what they didn't do. No one will remember you. You became the toughest, most cocky drunk, pandering to patrons like a punk. Punches pulled and punches through. No one. No one will remember the words in your head. No one will remember the things you said, or anything you tried to do. No one will remember you. Small town hero, king of the hill, queen of the bar and the whiskey still. The regulars still drink that brew. No one. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Some go boom and some go bust. Some jump the cracks and some fall through. Deep down you always knew no one will remember.